Evening and go to the sticky pages in your Bible. One of them little books that probably rarely gets visited, but remind us all that all of God's Word is God's Word, and it's all Scripture is profitable for doctrine. The book of Nahum, that little minor prophet, it's not minor because he was less than, it's just minor because he wrote it in short order. Nahum chapter number 1. If you have trouble finding that, it's over there between Micah and Habakkuk. Go to Matthew and then put it in reverse and you'll find it. I still hear pages turning, so I'll give you a moment. You've been seated a while, let's stand and we'll let you stretch yourself a moment, and we'll honor God's Word as we read. Nahum chapter number 1. If you're there, say amen.
Amen.
If you need more time, say amen. All right, Nahum chapter 1, I was going to start in verse 3, but let's just go ahead and start in verse 1. The burden of Nineveh, the book of the vision of Nahum, the Elkoshite. God is jealous, and the Lord revengeth. The Lord revengeth and is furious. The Lord will take vengeance on his adversaries, and he reserveth wrath for his enemies. Here's our text. Verse 3, the Lord is slow to anger. And all God's people said, amen. Well, ain't you glad? Ain't you glad that God don't see us in our silliness and just fly off the handle? He's slow to anger and great in power and will not at all acquit the wicked. The Lord hath his way in the whirlwind and in the storm. And like she just sang, and the clouds are the dust of his feet. You can have a seat. Preaching with the help of God this evening on the subject and on that phrase, the clouds are the dust of his feet. And we'll get to that phrase toward the end of the message, but I just want to start. I preached this morning on the subject of discouragement, the dangers of discouragement, and had several people mentioned how the Lord helped them this morning, and then got several texts and calls today of the Lord helping, and that's always a blessing to hear. And I say this, I was talking to a preacher friend of mine last night, a pastor, and he told me that in the last 2 weeks he's been on the phone and counseling and trying to encourage three different preachers, pastors. One had a noose hanging in his basement and had been contemplating putting it on him, and well, you know the rest. Two other people in his church with guns loaded, and had to talk one of them literally out of committing suicide. Just discouragement is rampant. It's everywhere. And so I hope that the Lord helped you and encouraged you somewhat this morning. I'll go a little bit further with that this evening, dealing with the subject of storms. And we all face them. We all go through storms. Sometimes seems like seasons of just storms. We're entering into springtime, and I don't remember how the little song goes, but something to do with April showers. And this time of year, storms will start to become more and more. And sometimes in life, it's that way. It's not just one storm, but it's like a multitude, like one after another after another. And that wears and tears on you. And so we even have hurricane seasons, etc., tornado seasons. And so there's no way to avoid them. They're bigger than we are. We can't dictate when a storm comes. We can try to shelter and be smart and wise and to take caution and not be like the moron that I was out on a golf course one time, and before I knew it, a storm just blew in right on top of us, and it was lightning, I mean, just striking the tops of the trees, and I was ready to get on out of there. I was making my way to get out of there, and this guy that I was passing, he held a one iron up in the sky and said, "Even God can't hit a one iron." And so, needless to say, I moved it on down the line. But just simply to say, storms can come out of nowhere, it seems. It can be blue skies and sunny, and just out of nowhere, the lightning crashes and the thunder rolls and the rain pours and the wind blows, not just physically, but in life. They can come just that quick. Your life can be going great and seeming like just blind out of nowhere. The storm of your life comes on the scene. And so, being that I can't dictate them or control them no more than you can, I'm glad to report to us all tonight that there's a God in heaven who can and who does. And I want to speak to that this evening. The Lord is slow to anger and great in power and will not at all acquit the wicked. Here's the phrase I'm interested in. The Lord hath his way in the whirlwind and in the storm, and the clouds, the dust of his feet. So we all face storms, physical storms, mental storms, spiritual storms, financial storms. You name the category, they come in all shapes and flavors. But I want to examine storms this evening for a little bit. But I want to look deeper than the lightning crashing and the thunder rolling and the wind and the rain and all the boisterous display that storms bring with them, and just see what we can see right out of the Word of God. Number one, look at the ruler of the storm. Look at the Bible. The ruler of the storm. The phrase begins, "The Lord hath his way in the whirlwind and in the storm." The word whirlwind in our vernacular, in our terminology, and something that we would probably understand better, is like a hurricane. You look that word whirlwind up, and it's our modern day word as a hurricane. And the word storm, it says he has his way in the whirlwind and in the storm. That's basically referring to a major thunderstorm. And I just say this, whether in life it's some just sprinkle of a shower or a boisterous thunderstorm or a Category 4 hurricane, I'm thankful that and glad to know that God rules over the storm, whatever level, whatever strength or category of a storm, and what may just be a sprinkle that I'm looking on into your life, Brother Jim, it may just look like some little shower, but when it's you getting wet, and when it's you feeling the wind blowing, and when it's you hearing the lightning crack, it's not some small thing. But from a distance, it may look like it's not that big of a deal. But whatever it is, God is the ruler over it. And here's what I can say and why I can say that he's the ruler over the storm. Look at the word Lord. He said in verse 3, the capital L, capital O, capital R, capital D. Well, this means that he's the self-existing, self-sufficient Jehovah God, the Lord. This means that he's in control. He rules and reigns over the storm, over the whirlwind. He is God all by himself. He needs no help, no matter the size or the severity of your storm. He is Lord, and he rules over the storm. Storm will quickly remind us how powerless we are. Have you ever been outdoors. I remember hunting down in Georgia, and we were, me and a buddy of mine, a preacher friend of mine, Brother Josh Williams, that preached for us here a while back. we were way out in the woods, didn't have no four-wheelers. We were a good mile in the woods, and we were anticipating a good long day of hunting. Got there before daybreak, and I mean, it usually don't storm like that in the wintertime during deer season, but out of nowhere, boy, the blue sky turned pitch black, and the wind began blowing, and before we knew it, I mean, there was nowhere to shelter. We were in a pine grove, and boy, the lightning was just licking the top of them trees, and there we was. And you realize real fast how little you are in the elements and in the power of a major storm. And it was just a thunderstorm. But when you're out there and the lightning is making the hair stand up on your neck and you can hear the buzz when it hits, it becomes bigger and bigger, and you become smaller and smaller in a hurry. And you're no match for it. You realize you can't control it. You can't steer it one way or the other. It's there, and you've got to live with it and deal with it. And that's how storms are in life. It would be easy to reflect them one way or the other, or divert them one way or the other, if we could. But when life happens and when storms roll into your zip code and find your address, there's nothing you can do but to endure it and live through it and do the best that you can do. And so we may not have power over the storm, but thank God He is the ruler, the self-sufficient Lord over the storms. He is Lord over the storm. The Bible says in Psalm 107, verse 25, "For He commandeth and raiseth the stormy wind, which lifteth up the waves thereof." There's never been a storm enter into our life. Listen, this will help you. There's never been a storm come into your life or mine that did not first have to go by the God of heaven and get permission to enter into your life and into mine. There's never been a bolt of lightning that would flash that didn't first have to get permission from the God who rules over storms. The devil may be raising Cain and stirring up storm after storm in your life, but know this, before he ever got to you, he had to go through the throne of God and get permission from God. So no matter how hard and how it's raining and how strong the wind is blowing and how bleak it looks and how dark life has got, it's not taking God. The God of heaven who rules over the storm has given permission, and He knows exactly where you are and where I am, and He's in control. Amen. That brings me comfort, because I know how powerless I am. I know that I'm under the storm, but I know He's over the storm. He rules over the storm. When the devil went after Job, you remember, he didn't drive straight to Job's front door. He first had to drive through the throne of God and get permission. And if he did that for Job, he has to do it for you and for me. So whether it's a mental, physical, financial, or spiritual storm that you're facing, just know that your God is Lord, that rules over the storm. Not only is He Lord over the storm, but He's Lord in your storm. The Bible says in Mark chapter 4, you remember this well, "And He arose and rebuked the wind, and said unto the sea, Peace, be still. And the wind ceased, and there was a great calm." Boy, ain't that a blessed time in life when the storm has been raging and it seems like there's no way out. And the God of heaven not only rules over the storm, but He gets in the storm with you and speaks peace, and you literally see the blue skies reappear and the wind cease and the waves quit rolling, and you realize that God is in there with you, and He has power over it, but He's willing to get in it. Amen. With you. Amen. It goes on in verse 41 of Mark. It says, "And they feared exceedingly and said one to another, What manner of man is this, that even the wind and the sea obey him? Hallelujah. He's not just Lord over the storm, but thank God he's Lord in your storm. And when he speaks, the storms has to obey. So God is ruler over the storm. Number two, the road of this storm. Not just the ruler of the storm, but look at the road of the storm. You say, I don't see a road in the verse. Let's read it again. Verse 3, look at the phrase, the Lord hath his way in the whirlwind and in the storm. Now, when I first read that, and I've read it many times, and every time I read it, I just thought, well, God has his way in the storm. He can do whatever he wants to in the storm, and that's true to a degree. But that ain't what that word in the context means. If you look that word up and study it deeper, it means that word way, the Lord hath his way. That word way means a pathway or a trail or a road, a way. And so Nahum is saying that God has his road right through the middle of this hurricane, of this whirlwind, this storm. God has his path right through the middle of this thunderstorm. And it doesn't mean that God has his way with the storm. It just, and he does, but it, in the context, as I said, it means God has made a highway. He's paved a road. He has a trail that he's walked through, and it's right in the middle of the storm. So many times God uses the storm. This is so true. God uses a storm as a way to bring us closer to him. If you read that account in Mark again, if you go back a verse or two, the Bible says Jesus constrained them to get into the ship. He literally compelled them and constrained them and literally commanded them, get in this ship, knowing that a storm was on the horizon. He knew what was going to be coming their way. But yet he still compelled and constrained them to get in the ship and head to the storm. Why? Because he knew it wouldn't be too long from now. Though they were seasoned fishermen, though they knew their ship, though they knew how to get through storms, they had done so many times, he knew this storm was going to rock their faith and they were going to be scared and fear would grip them. Yet he still constrained them and knew it would be better for them to go through this storm so that they could be closer to him. And I wonder how many of us, honestly, can look back and testify to the fact that storms have brought me closer to the Lord. Hang with me a minute. I'm going to show you something that's so good. I can testify on the sunshiny days of my life, I'm more apt to not seek the Lord and draw closer to him. But let tragedy strike. Let heartache come. Let me get a call saying and get a bad doctor's report. Let me get a call saying I got a family member that's nigh to death. Let me get a bank statement that shows I have way less money than I thought I had and the bills are due. Let one of my children get awful sick. Let my marriage get in trouble. I'm saying let me get in deep sin and realize I'm in a mess and I don't know how I got here, but I know I don't need to be here no longer. You know what I do? I seek the Lord. I look for him because he's the only way out of that situation. And so I'm saying I will personally testify to the fact storms have brought me closer to the Lord. Couldn't you agree to that? Have you ever thought about this? I'm talking about, in the Bible says, the Lord hath his way. Talking about the road in the storm. You ever thought about this? Storms don't necessarily bring you closer to him as much as it brings him closer to you. The storm is a road wherein he can walk to you. Ain't that what happened? He constrained them to get into the ship. The storm came. They didn't go to him. He came walking on the water to them. There's a road. There is a way through the storm where Christ and the Savior comes to us and will deliver and rescue us. God had this path right through the middle of the storm. It was the bottom that made me start looking up. It was brokenness that made me come to Him and see if He could take all my broken pieces and make me whole again. It's the storm that will make me seek Him. Was it a storm that brought you closer to Jesus? But in reality, we should probably ask the question this way. Was it a storm that brought Jesus to you? Matthew chapter 14, verses 22 through 27. And straightway Jesus constrained His disciples to get into the ship and go before Him unto the other side, while He sent the multitude away. And when He had sent the multitudes away, He went up into a mountain apart to pray. And when the evening was come, He was there alone. But the ship was now in the midst of the sea, tossed with the waves, for the wind was contrary. And in the fourth watch of the night, Jesus went unto them, walking on the sea. They didn't go to Him. Jesus went to them, walking on the sea, where the storm, the very thing that they feared the most, the thing that they thought may take their life, He was walking on to deliver them. And so storms brings Christ closer to us because there's a road in the storm. The very thing that they thought would kill them, Jesus made it a highway. And the very thing that threatened their life was a path for Him to get to them. Simon got out of the ship, as you remember, and walked. He still has the record for walking the furthest on water outside of the Lord. But it wasn't long. He took his eyes off Jesus and beginning to sink, and he had to cry, "Help, Lord," you remember. And the waves, in the same story, the waves that were over Simon's head were under Jesus' feet. He's ruler over the storm, but He has a road in the storm. And the storm is His road into our life. He sent them into the storm so He could use the storm to walk into their lives and amaze them. They said, "What manner of man is this, that even the winds and the waves obey Him?" And so they seen a sight of Him because He allowed that storm to come into their life. They seen a sight of Him that they would have never seen minus the storm. And so God knows when we need a storm. God knows when you need faith tested and when I need my faith tested. And He don't just send storms in our life to hurt and harm us and to set up in heaven and laugh and see how we're going to squander and go through the storm. No, He has a purpose and a reason. You ain't facing a storm just because the flip of the coin in heaven. No, God has a purpose, and He's ultimately wanting to get closer to you, and He knows that the only way that can happen is for Him to inject a storm there in where a road, because His way is in the storm and in the whirlwind, and that way He can get to us in a way that He couldn't otherwise. So, can I encourage you this evening, the next time you're in a storm, look past the bad doctor's report, look past the broken heart and the tears, and look closely, and somewhere in the shadows you will find Him. He's there. So not only is He the ruler of the storm, and there's a road in the storm. Number three, and finally, let's notice the reassurance of the storm. The last part of verse 3 said, "And the clouds are the dust of His feet." There's two things you can tell about footprints. Number one is where someone has been. And number two, where someone is headed. Children, I got four, and when they go outside and play and it's raining or muddy, which it's been a lot of lately, it don't take long for them to track shoe prints and footprints and boot prints of mud and grime and grit all through the house. And I don't have to look long to see which one it is. Laurel's got little bitty prints. Little Beth a little bigger. Ellie's whopper feet. And then... and I don't even have to see them. I can just see the prints. It ain't that. I can just see the prints. That means I don't have to wear this crazy thing no more. I hate this thing. May I take your order? You'd like a double cheeseburger combo? I feel like I'm in the drive-thru. But I don't even have to see them. I can just see their prints to see where they've been and to see where they're headed. I can look at the footprint and see which direction it's going. And so footprints has those two qualities. So the Bible says right here in the text that the clouds are the dust of his feet. Think about this for a minute. Do you know what happens before a storm? Every storm, what happens first? You can tell. Blue skies begin to get gray, and clouds begin to form. Every time. That is a sign of a storm. And they're on the bottom level, especially if you're at the coast or down to, but anywhere, you'll see it. They're at the bottom where that pressure hits. It's flat. The clouds are flat on the bottom, but the higher they go, they begin to build and build and roll up there on the top. And if you watch them, you can see them grow and see them form. And the clouds, the Bible said the dust of the clouds, let me read it exactly, and the clouds are the dust of his feet. So you know what that is? That's the footprints of God. So when you see the clouds forming, that means that a storm's coming. Right? When the clouds begin to form, that means a storm is coming. But it also means that God is on his way. We're talking about the second point of this message was the road in the storm. And so when those clouds begin to form, because according to the word of God, it said clear, the clouds are the dust of his feet. So when clouds begin to form, storms are coming, but that also means God is coming. That's his desire. That's his way. And when the storm's coming, know this. This ain't your first storm. This helped me. To date, everybody in this building and out in the parking lot, you are batting 1,000 when it comes to storms. Amen. To date, there ain't one of us that have died in one. By your presence, you're proving, and I'm proving, we've lived to see another day. There ain't a storm yet taking you out. As bad as they were, as strong as they were, the winds howled and blew and may even fear for our life. But to date, we are living, breathing testimonies that we have lived through every storm that's come our way. Amen. Amen. That ought to encourage you. If the storm is going to come, I'm glad the Savior's coming with it. It's reassuring to me to know that when the clouds form according to the Bible, the clouds are the dust of his feet, he's coming with it. He don't send storms minus himself. He travels through the storm. Everybody goes through storms, but only a few see the Savior in the storm. Let me explain that a little bit further. You go to the hospital, you go to that ICU floor, and I've been in there, I'm sure you've been in there, and it's, you talking about a storm. You see your daddy laying there, and there's no hope of him living. Boy, that's a storm. You see a wife or a husband or a child, and you're staring at them, and you know that there's days, if that, for them to be left. Boy, that's a storm. I mean, I'd say that's a category 5. That's about as bad as it gets. So we all go through storms like that. But few can be in that storm. And I'm talking to saved people. and can see Christ in the storm. He's there. Think about all the lost people that crowd them hospital buildings and crowd all these places in life that go through storms, and they have no hope and no help. But we that are saved, we don't have to walk through storms alone. We don't have to face them alone. There's a God in heaven who promised that I have a road right through the storm, and I'm coming to you, I'm coming for you, and I will be with you. I'll never leave thee nor forsake thee. He's there in the storm. But lost people, I don't know how they deal with it. I don't know how they cope alone. Not just with hospitals and death, but so many other things in life. And just speaking of the hospital, in this day and hour we're living, you may not even be able to be there at the hospital with your family or your loved one. But I can promise you Jesus is there. And if you can't get there to be with them and hold their hand and pray with them, there's a God in heaven who promised He would be there. And He don't even have to ask permission. He don't even have to go through all the mess to see if He can get in there. He don't even have to wear a mask. He's there with your family and with mine, with your friends. And I say, hallelujah. Lost people see their marriages falling to pieces, but they don't see Christ there to pick up the pieces and help them. Lost people go through financial tragedy, but they don't have Christ whispering in their ear, as long as you have me, I will supply all your needs according to my riches in glory. So I'm saying we all face storms. Save, the Bible says it rains on the just and the unjust. But ain't you glad? I mean, being saved is so good and glorious and wonderful. And the benefits are truly out of this world. It's wonderful. I mean, we're saved. We're never going to hell. We get to go to heaven. But just remove eternity for a moment and remove what's going to happen and look at what is. Walking through this life, facing storms like everybody else on planet Earth, we have somebody who will come to us and comfort us and guide and guard us and go through the storms with us. Amen. You don't have to face it alone. And hallelujah, this is a precious, precious promise that the clouds are the dust of His feet. The people, lost people go through financial tragedy, marriage problems, death, sickness. But we have a hope in Christ. The clouds are the dust of His feet, and He wants to be in your storm with you. And that sure is reassuring during storms. Have you ever... I'll tell on myself. When I was growing up, if I was scared of a storm, if I was by myself at home and the wind got to blowing the windows and they would shake and rattle, and then pow, the lightning would, boy, it'd make my hair stand up. I'd get scared. I didn't like being by myself and that big old woolly storm coming in on just me. I would just think, surely a tornado's coming. I'm going to die right here all by myself. But it was just something about it. If my mama was home or my brothers were home, I mean, I didn't care if Tommy was there. He wouldn't help none, but I'm just kidding. But just somebody being there. I didn't like being alone in a storm. And if you saved... you don't never have to fear that. Amen. Because if a preacher ain't there or the church members ain't there, I can promise you upon the authority of God's word, you will never, no, never face a storm alone if you're saved. Ever. Boy, what a blessing. Well, if you ever seen the wreckage or damage after a storm, especially a hurricane or a tornado, I mean, it's undeniable. You can see the track where a tornado come through or a hurricane come through. If you hadn't physically seen it, you've seen the pictures or the video of that. You've seen the trees bent and broken. I remember, this wasn't a storm, but it was a fire. All y'all remember up in Gatlinburg and Pigeon Ford, you remember that great forest fire that come through there, and you could just ride around places that you're familiar with, and they would be just barns and buildings and houses and lands and trees just gone. That was there. Now it was a clear track where that fire come through. And a hurricane or a tornado or some great storm is much the same. You can see exactly the track where that storm come through, and you see the trees that have been bent over and snapped and many broken. If you look closely, most of the trees are bent and many are broken, but they still there. And boy, this helped me. As I look across this church and I look in my own life, there's many of us who have, through the storms of life, that have been bent and, yes, broken. But by the grace of God, we're still here, which means you survived the storm. And I survived the storm, and some of those work. I mean, great storms have come through and just decimated places. And the trees are bent over and blown over, and many are broken. Even on the broke shears of those trees and where they've bent over, if you'll give it a little bit of time, when the storm passes and the sun shines again and skies become blue again, in time, little green sprouts and buds will come up in the bend of the tree or even where it's broken, and you'll see those little buds begin to penetrate from that broken place, and it will grow again. Amen. It'll produce again. And I'm saying, no matter how bad the storm has been or is, if you will just stay with God and recognize that He rules over the storm, that He has a road to you in the storm, and in return has a road from the storm to Him, and that there's reassurance in Him that He, the very things that are over our head and too big for us, they're under His feet. The clouds are the dust of His feet. And He's in full control. And I close with this. I read a story, heard a story of a guy that he had a deep sea fishing vessel charter, and he took a group out, and I think they went 30 or 40 miles out into the Gulf, and got out there, and they was doing good, and just they seen clouds forming out in the distance, and but they was having so much fun fishing that they didn't much pay it attention. And his words were, by the time you feel the wind of the storm, it's too late. You ain't going to outrun it. Not that far out. And so he felt the wind blow, so they pulled the anchors up and they began to get their rods together and put that boat in gear and started heading home. And what was normally a 45 minute to an hour ride turned into a 4.5 to 5 hour ride. He said, having it full throttle, headed toward home, the storm was moving the ocean and the boat and everything backward, and they just wasn't making progress. He said, but from my experience and being out on the waters for 25, 30 years, he said, people's asked me, what in the world do you do when a storm catches you like that? He said, what I was taught, tell others, is simply this. When a storm of that magnitude comes, and when it catches you, all you can do is point your vessel in the direction that you need to go and stay the course and just stay until you get there. That's all you can do. And that seems so simple and it seems so primary and elementary, but listen, we are so quick to make rash decisions and do something sporadic and crazy when we get in the middle of a storm. Just time out, let me give you a funny example of that. Back there in that sound booth is a man named Tommy Smith. And Brother Tommy Smith was a fire instructor and in the fire department, and he taught others how to fight fires. He was qualified. Well, A storm blew in where we lived, over beside where he lives now. And the power got knocked out. And my grandma was cooking some gravy, just got gravy started on the oven. And the power went out, and so she left it and went to doing other things. Well, the power come back on about an hour later after the storm blew over, and the power come back on, and everybody forgot about that grease. It was going to be gravy on the oven. And we walked in, and it was a full flame. And Mr. Fire Instructor comes in, who's supposed to know what to do with a grease fire. But in the spur of the moment, in the middle of that storm, him seeing a fire in his kitchen, in his house he just built, he acted just stupid. No offense. Goofy. Anti everything he was trained to do. He didn't put a lid on it. He didn't take it outside. He done the one thing that you are taught not to do. He grabbed that fire full of grease and throwed it in the sink and turned the water on, and whoosh, down goes the kitchen. Because in the spur of the moment, we don't always act how we were trained to act. We don't always respond how we would on paper. And when storms blow into your life unexpected, it's easy to slip up and make a silly, costly mistake. Yeah. And so it's better before time to go ahead and have a plan in place. And when storms come and take you by surprise, know that there's a ruler over that storm. And he's your dearest friend. He's not going to leave you high and dry. He's not going to leave you to yourself, to fend for yourself. And not only is he a friend that sticks closer than a brother that's going to rule over the storm, but he's made a road in the storm that he will come to you. And probably the very reason for the storm is so that he can get closer to you, not further from you. And there's reassurances in the storm, and that is simply that the clouds are the dust of his feet. Amen. That reassures me. And so next time a storm comes in and catches, just point yourself in the direction you know you're supposed to be going and ride it out. And sooner rather than later, what you thought would kill you, you will be able to look back just like you are tonight and say, I'm here by the grace of God. That's behind me. And I'm living to see another day. Bent? Yeah. Broken? Absolutely. I'm budding again. And by the grace of God, I'm standing again. Amen. And the sun's shining again. This too shall pass. Amen. Let's stand together. Our Father, we come to you in Jesus' name. We love you. Thank you for your word. Thank you, Lord, that you roll over the storm. You have a road in the storm, and you are the reassurance in the storm. I love you, Lord. The storms that seemed like they would kill me, Lord, thought I'd never get through. Lord, I thank you, Lord, that they are in my past, Lord. And to date, not one has taken me out, Lord, or none of these, God. We have weathered the storm by your grace, by your mercy, Lord. I pray you'd help us, God. Remind us, Lord. Lord, I know there might be people here tonight that are not going through a storm right now. But Lord, I pray you'd help us to pack this up, Lord. Put it in the freezer of our heart, God, and be able to pull it out, Lord, when the storm comes. Remind us, Lord, that you rule over the storm. Oh, God, there's a road in the storm. Lord, reassure us tonight. Bless and help your people. Thank you for helping me today, Lord. You know, God, from the depths of my heart, Lord, you know. God, I was preaching to myself today. I pray others got help. Lord, we love you. We thank you. Bless and help these in the altars. Bless and help these in their pews. God, those outside. Strengthen our church, Lord. Help us, God. Help us in Jesus' name. Father, these are praying you do business with God.